little halacha, and then we'll segue into some agadot. Okay, first let's just talk about briefly a few things. Eating meat. What is the halacha? Are we allowed to eat meat during the 9 days? So obviously during the 9 days, meat is forbidden. And what about if this year making early Shabbos, manavshach. On Shabbos, you're allowed to eat meat. There's no restriction of eating meat on Shabbos. If you make an early Shabbos and you start Shabbos early, even if you'll tell me that you have to follow the Zman, well, it's not yet Rosh Chodesh until it gets dark. And if you're eating your Su'uda Shabbos on Friday afternoon, so it's not yet the 9 days. The question would be more relevant if the 9 days... Let's give you a regular case. Let's say, for example, the 9 days would start on Tuesday. Just make believe. We'll start on Tuesday. Oh, and now it's Shabbos Chazon. So Tuesday you can't eat meat. Wednesday you can't eat meat. Thursday there's no meat. Friday there's no meat. Shabbos you're allowed to eat meat because Shabbos Kodesh, you're allowed to eat. Let's say you make an early Shabbos. You make Shabbos and Plag Mincha. And now you want to eat meat Friday afternoon after Plag Mincha. So you makabel Shabbos early, you daven, you come home, and you eat your Su'udah Shabbos, but you're eating your Su'udah Shabbos when the sun is shining, the sun is out. So it's only Tosefa Shabbos, it's not the Ikar Shabbos. Who says the permissibility of eating meat on Shabbos extends even to Tosefa Shabbos? Shabbos.
You made Kiddush?
What? Of course you made Kiddush. So that's then Kiddush.
So you're drinking wine
also? So maybe you should not be listening. So by extension, okay, I really should ask the question by a different question. Who says you're allowed to make an early Shabbos in the regular year? This is not relevant this year, but who says you'd be allowed to make an early Shabbos? Okay, one thing at a time. Who says you'd be allowed to make an early Shabbos in a regular year because you will be drinking yayin and you will be eating basar when it's not really Shabbos? It's Tosefta Shabbos. And
you can't do
melacha either. What does a nafka mean? That's all part of the question. The person is mechal Shabbos during Tosefta Shabbos. The person makes an early Shabbos. He's mechabel Shabbos the earliest time possible, and the sun is still shining as shining, and he davens mincha, he davens ma'ariv, comes home, he's eating the suda, and in the middle of his suda Shabbos, he becomes a nichnas by ruach shtus, and he's mechal Shabbos now. I want to go now with mechal Shabbos, and they're witnesses and tell him, don't you dare if you mechal Shabbos, you mechayiv stila, and they call the psukim, and they bring the whole bez, and it's no, I'm gvar meshugah, I want him mechal Shabbos. Is he chayiv misa? No, he's not Chayiv Misa. There's no Chayiv Misa on Tosefta Shabbos. There's a Chayiv Misa when it's Shabbos Vadai. There's no Chayiv Misa during the time period of the day when it's only Tosefta Shabbos. Okay, that's Mitzvah Shabbos. Let's say it's already 50 minutes after Shkia, and you're sitting by a Chassidus Shereba, and he's going to Darsh and Shalosh Shuras Torah for the next 2 hours. And then you're going to first bench, and you're going to say Ritzei, and then you're going to Daven Ma'ariv, and you're going to make Avdolah. So right now, it's dark outside. It's still for you Shabbos. But it's Tosefta Shabbos. And at this moment in time, a person would go to Mechal Shabbos, would it be Chayiv Misa? Even if he did not say Baruch HaMatol. Even if he did not make Avdolah. Of course not. Of course not. The din of punishment of Chayiv Misa's Bezdin, Karis, for full Shabbos, only during the Iker Shabbos, not during Tosefta Shabbos. On the etzim of the day, the day of Shabbos itself. So the question is the prohibition, this custom that we have accepted upon ourselves, it's in Shulchan Aruch, that you do not eat meat, you do not drink wine, does that extend to Tosefta Shabbos? And the answer is absolutely not. If a person accepts upon himself Shabbos early, you're permitted to drink wine, you're permitted to eat meat. There's no such thing as being prohibited from eating yayin, and yayin is a person who makes an early Shabbos chazoin. You make an early Shabbos, and again, it's not relevant this year, because this year, the 9 days does not begin until Shabbos anyway. But it will be rogeh when it comes to Mitzvah Shabbos, as long as you are continuing to be mamshach your su'udah into the evening into the evening, you are permitted to drink wine and permitted to eat basar. As long as for you it's called Shabbos, you're moisif on Shabbos, that is a technique for you to be permitted. So you'll argue, you know what, if you want to eat meat, you can eat meat until Tuesday. You're not eating meat until Tuesday? Just don't make Havdalah. It's still Shabbos until you make Havdalah. So you can make Havdalah all the way until Wednesday, the entire Tuesday. So theoretically, it's almost, I don't know to what degree this is true, theoretically the person would keep Shabbos, extend to Shabbos. You can't do that because you have to wear tefillin and you have to daven, the weekly davening. What?
Is there in that regular, so Shabbos,
so now let's discuss. Okay, you're asking another question. So you're asking another very good question. Okay, we'll do that right. But this principle we have to appreciate. There is no, a person on his own expands the Shabbos either early or afterwards. That is a zone which permits him to drink wine and to eat meat. Now the next question is, what about making Havdalah on wine on this Shabbos, coming Shabbos? Havdalah is the end of Shabbos. Shabbos is already over. You're terminating the Shabbos by making the bracha. And it is our custom to make Havdalah on grape juice or yayin. Seemingly, it's a very choshva thing to make Havdalah on wine. I don't know why. People who go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky for brachas, and they ask him, he asked them that you should be mekabel upon yourself to make improvements in your religious life. Not a schooler, just, you know, you're a religious Jew, accept upon yourself something to enhance your religious experience. So obviously the best thing to do is to learn more. Not everyone can learn more. Everyone, they're maxed out, you know, they're maxed out. They have to work, they have this, they have that. So he tells them, when you make Havdalah, anyway, make Havdalah. So instead of making Havdalah on grape juice, you should be mahader to make Havdalah on yayin, real wine. For some reason, he tells this to a lot of people. I don't know why. He feels that this is a very an enhancement in their religious experience of life, that you should not settle for grape juice. You should be mahader to make Havdalah on yayin. Now, what about Shabbos Chazoin? Shabbos Chazon, grape juice, the same thing. There's no different grape juice. I mean, he holds not mamash yayin, not grape juice. But just in general, we all make on either grape juice or yayin. Mitzoy Shabbos, so it says in the Mechaber, the Ramah says, you should make Havdalah not on yayin, but on beer, right? And Chamar Medina on beer, and Bedavka, do not make Havdalah on Yayin. I think the Mechaber disagrees. The Mechaber says you should make it on Yayin. Why? Now the reason why you should make it on Yayin, the logic as to why you are permitted to make Havdalah on Yayin, on Shabbos, Mitzvah Shabbos Chazoin, is Havdalah be'etzem, in essence, is really part of Shabbos. This is an important principle. This is a concept. It's a concept that when we look at making Havdalah, how do you view Havdalah? Many times Halacha revealed to us Agada. When you make Havdalah, how do you look at Havdalah? Do you look at Havdalah as the sanctification of Yimei HaChol? Or do you look at Havdalah as the packaging up the end of Shabbos? Yes, the average person, you make Kiddush. Everyone's going to tell you Kiddush is the beginning of Shabbos. I don't think anyone's going to tell you that when you're making Kiddush Friday night, you're saying goodbye to the weekday. We want to package you up, we put you in a nice little box, we tie you up, you're done. Is that how you look at Kiddush Friday night? I don't think anyone looks at Kiddush Friday night in such a fashion. When you make Kiddush Friday night, what you're doing is, I'm doing something to initiate, to sanctify the day that we are entering in.
Actually, it's Mizmah Shiliyam HaShabbos.
Okay, but there are many different elements. You say Mizmah Shiliyam HaShabbos, you say Baruch Hu, you daven Shemona Esrei, and you come home, you say Good Shabbos, and you make Kiddush. There are many different elements that are being done in order to sanctify, to initiate the day of Shabbos with holiness. Okay, that I think is self-understood. Now, this is not so clear. It's not so clear in Halacha. When you make Havdalah, what are you doing? What are you doing in making Havdalah? Is this a service that is concluding the Shabbos? Yeah, Shabbos has to have bookends. There's the beginning and there's the end, so it's a ceremony which seals the Shabbos. Or is Havdalah a ceremony which really, in essence, sanctifies the weekday? Shabbos is over when the time is over. Yidavin Ma'ariv, Yisato Chanan Tanu. Yisad Baruch HaMavdil. Shabbos is over. When Yidavin Shemona Esrei, when the day ends, Shabbos is over. What's this Havdalah business? What's this Havdalah? And by the way, when you're making Havdalah, you're already doing Melacha. When people, Rabbi Cohn, he explained to us yesterday, Harav, Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohn explained that the ikapur part of Havdalah is to be matir achila, to eat, right. But achilas choil, to eat wheat, but you already can do melacha. When you said Baruch HaMavdil, you're already doing melacha. Atoch and Antanu, you're already doing melacha. So Shabbos is over already. It's over already. So you're making a ceremony. You're making a ceremony when it comes far now, when you make Kiddush, you're making the ceremony when you make Kiddush, when Shabbos already began. You're already in the Shabbos mode. And now you sanctify the Shabbos. Mitzvah Shabbos, when you're making Havdalah, Shabbos is long gone. You drove home. You turned on the lights. You came home. You're ready, you're ready in
you
week.
You have to light the candle right away.
You have to light the candle to do Havdalah. You're in weekday mode. Oh, we have to go make Havdalah. You're going to tell me this ceremony that I'm making over here is to close the Shabbos? If this ceremony was to close the Shabbos, you should be making Havdalah while you're still in the mode of not doing any Melacha. Or lighting the candle, you're right, so you don't light the candle. You'll have to do Havdalah either on a Ner Shavas, or you'll do Havdalah, you'll light the candle when you finish making Havdalah. First you make Havdalah to close Shabbos. Shabbos should be over. We've done the ceremony. Oh, Shabbos is over. Now we can do Melacha. Now we can light the candle to be Zecher for the creation of Eish that came about on Mitzvah Shabbos. Right, exactly. The fact is, since we do Melacha after Atoch and Antanu, it seems to indicate that the service of making Havdalah is a ceremony that sanctifies the week. I'll give you an example. The Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippurim, when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim five times on Yom Kippurim. He went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim for the Dama Par, the Dama Soyer, the Ketores, four times, and to retrieve the Ketores, Dama Par, Dama Soyer, and to retrieve the Kafa Hamach, four times. Every time when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what did he do? He went to the mikvah. He went to the mikvah, and he is Mekadesh Yadav Viragva. Why in the world is the Kohen Gadol going to the mikvah when he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? He just went into the holiest place in the world. He went to the mikvah before he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why does the Kohen Gadol need to sanctify his hands and feet and go to the mikvah when he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The answer is, he has to sanctify himself for the chol. This is explicit. There's a sanctification one does for the Kodesh. Before I go into the Kodesh, I must elevate myself. But before you enter into a world of chol, of dealing with the mundane, the relatively speaking the mundane, you also have to go through a sanctification process. Because you just can't go, it's a different world. The world of the service that you are involved in chol is it's a different service. I really believe, and I find this to be a very, 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 very bizarre thing. Everyone cloud today, this generation, Baruch Hashem, very religious generation, many people have the custom to go to mikvah Erev Shabbos. Not everyone, it's a thing. It's definitely a thing because it's easy to do. Today there are beautiful mikvahs, very convenient. Many shuls have really, years ago, the mikvahs were not exactly very pleasant. When I grew up as a child, I dreaded Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur. I mamas dreaded because it was a very uncomfortable experience to go to mikvah for many reasons. Going to the mikvah.
That's why my father took me 6:30 in the morning.
It was a very unpleasant experience for many reasons. Today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where people have given large amounts of money to build in this neighborhood all over the place some beautiful, outstanding, clean, to some degree private, beautiful mikvahs, which takes away a lot of the issues that existed in previous years. So people go, Erev Shabbos to the mikvah. It's a very big thing to enter into Shabbos in a state of Kedusha, to Tosefes Kedusha. And it enhances the Shabbos to some degree. People will tell you that even they're not on a level to feel any spirituality, but it puts you in a different frame of mind. I really believe, with my full heart and soul, it would be much, much better for all of us if we would all go to the mikvah on Mitzvah Shabbos. I'm not joking. Shabbos, what's going to happen to you? What are you going to do? What averus are you going to do on Shabbos today? What are you going to do on Shabbos? What, you're going to sit around the table and speak some Lashon Hara? What are you going to do already on Shabbos? Shabbos, most people, they behave. They behave pretty much, whatever they do. You're going to come late to davening. Mitzvah Shabbos, when all the trouble begins. Mitzvah Shabbos, you're off to the races, especially in the winter. And Sunday. If we would put ourselves in a frame of mind, Shabbos is over. Oh, Shabbos is over. Now is when the real battle begins. I don't know about you. But when Shabbos is over, okay, now we have to go back to the weekday. That means you got to go to work, you got to deal with people, you got to go out into the world, you got to do things, and you got to go to places that are very dangerous for your religious, for your neshama's well-being. And it would be very valuable to put yourself in a frame of mind to sanctify yourself. As you go into the Yemei HaChol, the Kohen Gadol did exactly this, and this says explicitly in the Mefarshim that the Kohen Gadol, when he came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was in a world of pure, pure sanctity, and now he's coming out into the mundane world. He sanctified himself on the way out to deal with the world, the dangerous world. He sanctified himself. So here's the dilemma. When it comes to Mitzvah Shabbos and you make Havdalah, what are you doing? What are you doing exactly? Is the Havdalah a service that packages up Shabbos? This is how we end the Shabbos. We started the Shabbos with a Koshel Bracha and a special Bracha. Asher Kiddushonu B'Mitzvah V'Ratzavanu V'Shabbos Koshel B'Yalva V'Ratzavanu V'Chaltanu. And now we end Shabbos. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Mavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol Bein Or L'Choshech Bein Yisrael L'Amim. Is that what Havdalah is all about? Or is Havdalah the sanctification of the Yomim Avinu Malkeinu? Hochel Oleinu HaYomim HaBoim Oleinu L'Sholoim L'Kroseinu L'Sholoim. It's a sanctification of what comes next. L'mai Nafgemina. The Nafgemina is, are you permitted to be mavdil on Yayin Mitzvah Shabbos Parshas Chazoin? If the purpose of Havdalah is to package Shabbos, it's part of Shabbos. Shabbos, you're permitted lichatchila to drink Yayin. It's not part of the Takana. There is no Avelos on Shabbos. It's not part of any of the 9 days, does not exist. So if Havdalah is a chilek of Shabbos, you make Havdalah on Yayin. What's the Shaila? But if you view that the ikar of Havdalah is Avinu Malkeinu Hochel Oleinu Hayomim Haboim Likroseinu L'Sholoim, it's a ceremony to sanctify the days that we come into. It's already Chol. It's part of the future. It's weekday. Then you're not allowed this week to drink Yayin. This week is a week of Avelos. So then you have no choice but to be mavdil on Chamar Medina. Cup of coffee, cup of tea, some beer, maybe some orange juice, some hold. Milk, if milk is whole shiloh milk. Okay, there are other... liquids, other beverages, which are not in violation of Avelus, that should be used if it's a ceremony that goes for the week. This is the dilemma. What is Havdalah? So it would seem that this is the Machlokes, the Mechaber and Ramah. The Mechaber that says you use Yayin, Havdalah, there's no question that Havdalah is both. It has to be both. Kiddush is the only one. Kiddush is only a sanctification of Shabbos. Havdalah is really both. It has two elements in Havdalah. It's Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol. We are already doing Melacha. We already were Mavdil in Tefillah. We said Atachon Antanu. We're already doing Melacha. So what are you doing now? You did Melacha. You lit the fire. You lit the candles. Mr. Merula says. There's two elements in Havdalah. What is the Ikor and what is the Tafel? The Mechaber that says Yayin, the Ikor is, it's a conclusion to Shabbos. Shabbos? Ah, Yayin. The Ramah, no, beer. Why? The Ikor is, it's a Haschola, it's a sanctification of the coming week. Okay, also giving Nafmin the Rishonim, is Havdalah Doiraisa or is Havdalah Midrabanan? So I think it's Machlokes in the Rishonim. Do you view Havdalah to be a mitzvah Doiraisa or Dirabanan? If you hold that Havdalah is a Doiraisa, it can only be that it's part of Shabbos. It's part of Vikidah, it's part of Zochor Es Yoyim HaShabbos L'Kaddishoy. There's no halacha anywhere B'chol HaTorah Kula Zochor Es Yimei HaChol L'Kaddishoy. There's no such thing as sanctifying the weekday. The only thing that we find to sanctify as a Deraisa is Shabbos. For Kiddush...
Do you know what Rav Kanievsky does this much
on
Shabbos?
He probably... I don't know. It's very likely he uses wine. The oil, the Minig Oilim is Yayin. I'll explain to you. The Minig Oilim is Yayin. But there's a machlokes in the Rishonim. The machlokes is Havdalah Deraisa or is Havdalah Derabanan. If Havdalah is Deraisa, it seems to be that it is Shabbos. It is the Gemar of Shabbos. Because there is no mitzvah anywhere B'chol HaTorah Kula to sanctify the weekday. There's a mitzvah Daraisa to sanctify Shabbos. Kiddush Friday night, L'chol HaDeos is Daraisa. Okay, you'll tell me, you say Good Shabbos, you say David Meir. Don't confuse me with the facts. The mitzvah is, Kiddush in some shape or form Friday night is Daraisa. It's Daraisa in some shape or form.
Kiddush can't be open-ended. Kiddush, by definition, has to be mindful at the outset and also at the end.
The Gemar. So that's if you hold it, that Havdol is Deraisa.
That's the definition of Kiddusha.
Is, okay, so this is a very deep idea. That's the who hold that Havdol is Deraisa.
Right.
Deraisa.
Right.
But many Poiskim say, many Rishonim disagree. They hold that Havdol is Derabanan. If Havdalah is the Rabban, that would seem to indicate that what you're doing for Havdalah is more of a sanctification of the future, of the weekday. Okay, it has an element also in the Havdalah of closing off the Shabbos. But if that would be what it's all about, it would be Daraisa. It would be a chelik.
That's if you said Havdalah,
you could
have a problem with Havdalah.
Okay, there are many different dimensions. These are the basic concepts of what is Havdalah. Now the Minhag HaOlam is as follows. The Minhag HaOlam today, even though the Ramah says that you make Havdalah on beer, on Chamar Medina, it is a given if you look around, and what happens if you don't have Chamar Medina? So what do you do? You give it to a child. I forgot already what it says in the Mechaber. Some they make Havdalah on Yayin, and they drink it. They drink the Yayin themselves. Some say, no, you make Havdalah on Yayin, but don't drink it. Don't drink it. Give the Yayin to a child to drink. That all works with the same idea that Havdalah is for the... Avinu Malkeinu, Hochel Leleinu, Hayom, Habom Likrosenu, L'shom, is for the future. So then you shouldn't drink Yayin, so you give it to a child, use Chamar Medina. It appears, I can't tell you for sure, but Pukhazi Ma'ama Devar, that the Minhag HaOlam today... In almost the vast majority of what I, at least what I'm familiar with in this community, is to make Havdalah on Yayin. Like no different. Yayin or grape juice, like you do every Mitzvah Shabbos, and drink it yourself. No difference whatsoever.
So that's funny.
Even though the Ramah says you should do it on beer. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein also says this. You should make it on Yayin. How could it be that we're not going to follow the Ramah? Uvinei Yisrael Yoytzim B'yod Ramah. Right? Everyone knows that line. Uvinei Yisrael Yoytzim B'yod Ramah. Even though the Ramah is spelled it with a hey, and the Rav Moshe Isalis with an Aleph, but there's an expression that the Ashkenazim always follow the Ramah. Rav Moshe says you have to understand the backdrop, the background to what the Ramah says. In the time of the Ramah, he lived in Krakow. Jews were poor. And people did not have wine. Wine was a luxury. You could barely scrape together enough, a few cents to buy wine to make kiddush. Every Motzoi Shabbos in the Ramos community, the minig was, every Motzoi Shabbos, to make Havdalah on beer, on Sheikha. Beer was very inexpensive. And Yayin was very expensive. And most people, that's what everyone did. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, people made Havdalah on Sheikha. Not because it's the ideal thing to do, it was the practical thing to do. For you now, if you're lucky day, look at this, lucky day we have over here, it's Shabbos, look at that, I have an extra bottle of wine. So you know what, now it's Shabbos Chazoyim. So you know what? Oh, let's now be mavdil al yayin, even though the other 49 weeks of the year, or whatever, 54 weeks of the 43 weeks of the year, I made havdalah on grape on beer. This Mitzvah Shabbos, being that I have an extra bottle of wine lying around, oh, I'm going to make havdalah on yayin. So the Ramos says that's not nice. If the whole year you're making havdalah on beer, don't go out of your way on Shabbos Chazoyim to make Havdalah on Yayin. Even though, you know, maybe you'll say, but really, Havdalah deserves Yayin, it's part of Shabbos and Shabbos. There's another element in Avelos. Don't stand out. It's not the time. Now is not the time to be Machmir. If your whole year you drink Yayin, oh, so you know what? So that's right, you should drink Yayin Mitzvah Shabbos Parshas Chazoyim. But if the whole year you're drinking beer, it's not the time now to upgrade and drink Yayin. Now you'll say to me, what do you mean? You're doing it the right way. Let me give you an example. Everyone knows what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that during the Aseres he made Teshuvah, you should eat only Pas Yisrael. If the whole year you eat Entenmann's, you eat Stella Dora, you eat, you know, all the junk foods, the preservatives that are poisonous from Paspalter, during the Aseres you made Teshuvah, you may have been upgrade to something Pas Yisrael. Not because it's any less kosher, it's good enough for the whole year, it's good, but you know, it's a hider. Who are you fooling? What is make believe? You're coming before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to fool Hashem that now you become a tzaddik? Yeah, it's, the answer is yeah. It's a good thing to upgrade even for one day. If that's the case, so why can't you argue that if really you're supposed to make Havdalah on Yayin, you make Havdalah on Yayin the whole year, and the only reason why you make Havdalah on beer, is because you can't afford. Now, Shabbos Chazoyin, you want to do Teshuvah, you want to go spend your life savings to buy Yayin. So what's so terrible? Why is it any different than Pas Yisrael? The answer is Pas Yisrael doesn't taste any better than Pas Palter. It probably tastes worse. Okay? The Jewish brands, for some reason, don't exactly, the Cheerios, the Yeshivish Cheerios don't exactly taste as good as the real Cheerios. So it's not considered an upgrade in joy. It's an upgrade in religion. But Yayin yisamach levav enosh. Yayin is a qualitative enhancement in your joy. It's true, there's a qualitative upgrade in your religious experience. But now's not the time to upgrade your religious experience when it also comes with a dosage of enjoying yourself and giving yourself simcha. If you really want to upgrade, start Shabbos Nachum. Upgrade and keep on doing it the whole year, and then by next year, then you always make Havdalah on Yayim, Gezunt Heid, make Havdalah on Yayim. But to upgrade now for the very first time on Yayim, on the whole year, you sell for Sheikhar, something with Chamar Medina, it's true, it's a religious upgrade, which is more Lahalocha, but it's not the right time to do something when it comes with a personal benefit and gain. There's a nuance of sensitivity of there's a time for everything in life, even a time to upgrade. Rabbi Naiman is giving another example, going to mikvah. Okay, let's discuss for a moment. Is a person allowed to take a? We know that bathing during the 9 days. So today, most people are very, very lenient. Everyone today is in the category of an istinus. So many people will many rabbanim will tell a person, you're allowed to bathe during the 9 days, even with hot water, but you should do something to show, especially today with, you know, with glasses or so, with corona, our health is very sensitive. So we're extremely lenient in this matter. And the only thing the rabbanim say is, just do it different. If you stay in the shower for 10 minutes, stay in the shower for 8 minutes, 7 minutes. If the water is 108 degrees, lower it to 103 degrees. Do something to show, to feel that you are in the 90s. Do something. Don't just do it the same. Downgrade your comfort to what you can handle. So the question over here is, what about going to mikveh Erev Shabbos? So going to mikveh Erev Shabbos, people who go to mikveh Erev Shabbos, so how you got to go to mikveh? You're bathing. You're going into a hot mikveh, you're bathing your entire body, and before you go into mikveh, you're not allowed to go into mikveh unless you first go to the shower. Okay, many mikvahs are very strict. Don't you dare go into the mikveh unless you first take a shower here. Don't tell me you took a shower at home before you came to mikveh. I don't care. You take a shower again. Don't contaminate. Don't make the water dirty. When you go into the mikveh, who knows what's on your body? Who knows what chemical, who knows what bacteria, disease you're putting into the mikveh, which can make someone else who comes after you sick. So you must take a shower here in this mikveh. We have very nice showers. And we have soap. We have everything you could possibly need. You take a shower here in order to minimize the contamination that will go into the mikveh, even though the mikveh has filter and the mikveh has a ton of chlorine.
They do chlorinate.
They chlorinate, they do everything. I know where I go now, they built a new mikveh, and a new person took over, and he's literally obsessed. He comes every night. He's like, he became a chemist. This yeshiva shagai, he knows everything you could possibly know about all the different types of chlorine and the pH level, and he has strips, these tests, he tests with this strip and that strip, and the filter, and this filter and that filter, and this plumber and that plumber, and this tube. He's totally obsessed with Baruch Hashem. It was never so clean, the mikvah. But pristine, it's unbelievable, really. And he has a big sign, do not enter the mikvah until you take a shower here, right here, before you go into the mikvah. And he's not there to police people, but he lets people know that this is serious business here. In any event, you have to take a shower. You have to take a shower first, then you have to go to the mikvah, then you got to take a shower again. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach said, I take a shower twice before I go to mikvah. I take a shower before I go as Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, before you go into the mikveh, Derech Eretz, you have to take a shower. You shouldn't put into the mikveh anything that you have. And then when I come out of the mikveh, I take a shower again because of the people that did not have Derech Eretz. Okay? Now you'll ask me, but it says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to take a shower after, you're not allowed to go into a bath after you go to mikveh. It's a fair shalacha. So there are some women that are machmir on this. You're not allowed to take a shower when you come out of there because it's the takon in the Gemara. The Gemara says that people would go to the mikveh, the filthy, dirty mikvahs in time of Chazal, and they would come out of the mikveh, they would go into a pristine spa, or bath to cleanse themselves. And after a while, people started saying that it's not the mikveh that brings the tahara, it's the bath, the shower that brings the tahara. Who needs to go into the mikveh? You just go into the shower. So because people started making that mistake, they made all of these takonis, that you're not allowed to take a shower when you come out of the mikveh. So how today can a person take a shower and they come out of the mikveh? So the answer is this takon in the Gemara is, this is machlekes. Taka, some say you shouldn't. Okay, it's a chumra. Some say you shouldn't. There's a big, a lot of truths on this. But many hold you can be lenient. Primarily, this takona was only enacted for people that eat teruma. Oichle teruma. Not for people who are going to the mikvah for nida. Not for people going to mikvah for tosefes kedusha, tahara. It was never enacted for those people. In any event, how you got to go to the mikvah? It's the 9 days. So the answer that all the poskim say is, if you go to the mikvah every single Erev Shabbos, you know what that shows? You're the real deal. You're the real deal, that you really value the mikvah. It's for you, it's part of your preparation for Shabbos. It's your hachana. I know a guy, he's the guy who convinced me to go to the mikvah. And I said, you go to the mikvah? Come on, you count the litzak, So then after a while, I asked him, tell me the truth. I want to tell me the honest truth. Do you really feel a difference? Does it really make a difference to you? You go to the mikvah, you feel holy, you feel something special. Tell me the truth. So he stopped. I remember how he looked at me. He stopped and he didn't say anything like for at least a minute, maybe even 2 minutes. And he said to me, I'll tell you the truth. I think about this all the time. And I can't tell you that I feel any different whatsoever, spiritually. However, I can tell you that it does change my mindset, my hachonah for Shabbos. I'm not a holy person. I don't feel going to the mikvah. I'm pure, tumah, tahara. It's all the same to me. I don't know how these things work. I don't feel the ruach ra has been lifted. I don't feel this thing called tesefes kedusha. Going to the mikvah by me is like going to a swimming pool. I don't feel any spiritual difference. I really don't. But I have emunah that there's something to do. And the whole ceremony, the whole procedure of going to the mikvah, it puts me in a different frame of mind for Shabbos. It enhances my appreciation, my hachonah for Shabbos. And that's worth it for me. I found it was a very honest answer. And you know, people who are phonies, they'll tell you, oh yeah, I go to mikvah now, the ruach hatumah has been lifted. I'm now able to communicate with the malachim. You really believe that? Okay? Mm-hmm. Like someone told someone, I couldn't believe he said, I told you this. He got me, said that he spoke to a rav, and the rav said, he was asking, why don't you come to a program, have a program in the shul? By us in shul, we Tisha B'Av, we come to shul, we daven shachris, we sit there on the floor, we say kinoish, and we cry for the Beis HaMikdash. We don't need these programs. We say kinoish and we cry. And the guy says, what kind of baloney is this? You cry? I never saw anyone today crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. You're telling me that all the balabatim, I know you're balabatim. Your balabatim here in this shul over here, you're telling me you sit down, you're all crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Who are you fooling? You know who's crying here over the Beis HaMikdash? I couldn't believe you were so explicit in saying it. Sometimes you have to be honest. You have to have a moon of pshuta. You have to do what you're supposed to do. Do the right thing, and hopefully it will lead to a sincere feeling of a moon. But going back to this point, going to the mikvah of Shabbos, if you go to the mikvah the entire week, that is an indication you really believe in it. Therefore, Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chazon, when it's the 9 days, this year it's not really relevant because it's not in the 9 days yet, you are allowed to go to the mikvah, to a hot mikvah, and go take a shower, and do everything you do on a regular. But as Rabbi Norman is saying, well, let's say the person never ever goes to mikvah. And now, this Shabbos, Shabbos Chazon, when Shabbos Chazon would fall out in the middle of the 9 days, I want to start, a naya minute, I want to go to mikvah for the very first time. If you haven't gone to mikveh now, now's not the time to go to mikveh. Start next week. Don't take advantage of being a frummy and go to the mikveh so you can have a hot shower and go into a hot mikveh. What kind of nonsense is this? It's the same thing with Havdalah. If the whole year you make Havdalah in Chamar Medina, it's not the time now, Mitzvah Shabbos, Chazoyin, for the very first time to make Havdalah on Yayin. But if the whole year you make Havdalah on Yayin, Rav Moshe says, so then you should make Havdalah on Yayin, on Shabbos, Chazoyin, and you should drink it.
Or grape juice.
On grape juice and Yayin, you can drink it, because Havdalah, we paskin be'etzem, that Havdalah is a chelek of the Shabbos. It's a packaging, it's two things. You're closing off the Shabbos, and you're also starting the new week. But be'etzem, the ikor is, it's a chelek of Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's no avelos. On Shabbos, you could drink yayin. On Shabbos, you could eat basar. So there's no issue whatsoever. You're permitted to go and make Havdalah. If you make Havdalah the entire year on grape juice or on yayin, you can make Havdalah on grape juice and yayin this Mitzvah Shabbos, like it was a regular Mitzvah Shabbos. No limitations whatsoever. It's a chelik of the Shabbos. It's a chelik of the Shabbos, and Shabbos is no avelos. It's motor lechatkila. If on every single Shabbos you always make Havdalah on coffee or on other things, it's not the time to start. Just like it's not the time to start by going to the mikveh the very first time on Shabbos Chazal. What about Aseres Yimei Teshuvah? There we tell you to upgrade and don't during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. You should start for the very first time. What comparison is that? That's not a matter of giving yourself pleasure during a time of avelos. That's a time of upgrading your religious service. Even for a few days, it's kedai to upgrade yourself to have a higher religious service. It's not a time of avelos where you're having also pleasure and taking advantage. You're not taking advantage of there. There, you're just generally upgrading your service. Okay, now I'll tell you something on the tip of my mind, and I totally forgot what was I forgetting. Oh, here's it. Now here's it. What about Malav Malka? Are you allowed to eat basar and drink yayin for milava malka? Okay, some people, it's halach and shulchan aruch, you must have a suda mitzvah Shabbos. So l'chatchila, you're supposed to have fresh food. You're supposed to have not leftovers. Some say bedavka milava malka is bedavka supposed to be leftovers. It's a whole shmooze. But let's say, are you allowed to eat basar? Are you allowed to drink yayin for milava malka? So it's not so simple, and basically what comes out is exactly what we just said. Exactly. If the whole year you're not a Malava Malka type of guy, you never have a Malava Malka. Yeah, if you happen to go out to a restaurant with your wife, oh, we were Makayim Malava Malka. You're very nice. The Malava Malka was not on your kavanah was to go to the restaurant. It just happens, this is the Malava Malka. Yeah, thank you very much. We know what you would, even if it wasn't Malava Malka, you would have gone to the restaurant. And then there are some people, okay, few and far in between, they take it very seriously, and every Mitzvah Shabbos, they actually sit down, they light candles, and they have a Sudas Malava Malka. They wash, they say the Zemirois, the Brochois, that what it says about people who do this, looking for Segulas. This is not a Segula. These are the Ikarim. And the things that it says, the chashivas of doing this is beyond belief, what it says about people who do this. If the whole year you have a fleishik dika malava malka with yayin, then basically there is a lot of room to be makel and to have your sudas malava malka mitzvah Shabbos fleishiks, meat and yayin. There's no question about it, you can do it. But if you don't do it the whole year, then basically it's awesome. It's not the time to start. Exactly the same principle. People always ask, Mitzvah Shabbos, could we eat the leftovers? Can we eat the leftovers from Shabbos? Fleishiks, let's eat the leftovers. Oh, Malav Malka. Doi sudasa d'dava Malka.
Could you eat in Kalim d'dava
Fleishiks? Absolutely. The laws of kashrus do not apply for the 9 days. You can eat things
so
that were cooked.
As long as
it's not mamish basar. Even though you may have to wait 6 hours, you don't need necessarily so. You have flavoring of fleishiks. It's very, very lenient. You're not allowed to eat the real meat. Real meat. But let's say you have something which has residue. you have something which has some taruvis, so there's some chicken soup that got absorbed into a kugel. You have a piece of kugel which is be'etzem parif, but the kugel somehow it touched the meat, it touched the chalent, it touched the meat and it absorbed a she'iv of basa. It's mutar l'chatzchila during the week. Okay, you have to wait 6 hours. If you really feel this, it really got in, you may have to wait 6 hours in some situations. If it really did absorb, but it's muti. It's not an be'etzem. The laws of not eating basar does not apply to kashrus. It's not a kashrus issue. It's eating real basar. But if something was cooked in a fleishtik oven, for sure. If something touched fleishtiks, it's also mutter. Even if it absorbed a little bit of fleishtik, a small amount, it's mutter. It's only also to eat mamish, the real basar, that is forbidden. Even if what are you going to eat may require la halacha to wait 6 hours, because it may have absorbed a teeny amount of basar, and therefore l'chum, you have to wait 6 hours, it's okay. Eat it, wait 6 hours, and then it's okay, because you're not eating mamish, basar, mamish, it's mutter.
What is it, machlokis among kashrus organizations, right, about the
French
restaurants,
fries. French fries.
Who want to make part of the menu for the 9 days,
but
they have
kalim.
To use new kalim, and some hashkochas will make them buy like new frying pans.
Right, so that's really a business. It's,
I understand, but there are
I suspect that a lot of those companies, those cash organizations, because it's they're going to get a bad reputation,
right,
when they tell their customers, oh, by the way, when you go home, you have to wait 6 hours before you eat milk.
Ain't gonna work.
Whoa, I gotta wait 6 hours? So then they tell their neighbors, they served you in that restaurant fleishiks? Who gives the hechsher on this? The OU? Oh, the OU strafe, right? They don't need this. They don't need the headache. They don't need the headache. It's a business. There's a lot of these things, a lot of decisions that cash organizations make are business decisions. And it works the other way around. They rely on leniencies that you would never for your life rely on at home, because people don't care in the business world. So it works both ways. But the essence,
like the Noah's Ark in Pinek, you could eat for 9 days in the restaurant, but on the Noah's Ark on the lower east side, it was only the takeout.
Only takeout, because Suda's Reyes.
Sitting around.
It's
a
Suda's Reyes.
In New Jersey already, it was
you get away with it. You're not allowed to have a Suda's Reyes, have friends come together during the 9 days. So it's the same exact thing. When it comes to Lava Malka, you look in the Paiskim, there are so many opinions on Malava Malka. Some say, yeah, of course, Malava Malka, it's Sudas Mitzvah, it's part of Shabbos. What are you talking about? Of course you can have yayin. Of course you can have meat. And other people say, what are you out of your mind? Malava Malka, Mitzvah Shabbos, no way. Also, you're not allowed to do this in 9 days, it's not Shabbos. And then you always see the Pshara is. There's so many Chilukideas. If this is what you do every Mitzvah Shabbos, eat basar, the yayin from Malav Malka, you light candles, then yesh al mi lismech lechatchila to continue your practice. But if every Mitzvah Shabbos you go to the pizza store, or you do this, you do that, and it's not on your mind, now is not the time to start to be machmir on Malav Malka as a way of taking advantage to eat basar. I was talking to someone on Shabbos, the Talmud Chacham, and he started giving me this whole wild shmooze, this wild, he has all this very wild chidushim, and he starts telling me this chidush, and he told this to Rabbi Shur, and he was raised from Mishnayis, and he says to me as follows, this is not lahalach, of course, this is just pilpul. Why don't we say that if you have a Suda Shabbos, and you put on the table turkey roll, cholin, chicken, fleishiks, the food is mutter, Shabbos. The nail of this kevon de chutra. The chefza. Once it's the food is permitted to be eaten for Shabbos. So now let's say it's Tuesday. So Tuesday I can't go buy new chicken, new meat, but I should be able to take the leftovers from Shabbos and eat it for lunch on Tuesday. Why? There's a lot of wild var. There's a chalois on the food. Kevon de hutra. Once this piece of food, there's a chalois. This is my Suda Shabbos.
That was a quick
So
well, we just said that kashrus has nothing to do with it. So
there's a chalois, a din chefsa. Why don't we say the Shabbos food is a din chefsa? This object has become permitted. Once this is permitted, if I choose not to eat it on Shabbos and I leave it over until Tuesday, I should be able to eat it Tuesday. So Rav Naiman is saying, it's like a lomja briskavar, whoever told you that there's a problem with the food? The problem is with you. There's nothing wrong with the food. Chazal, you're saying another din. You're saying it's the zman. You're saying it's not you. It's not the food. You're saying a new din. It's the zman. Yom Kippurim. You're saying three things. There are three things about that. It's the holiest day of the year. The Kohen Gadol is the holiest person in Klal Yisrael, and the Kodesh HaKadosh is the holiest location. This Olam Shana Nefesh. In the world of Machshava, there are three principles. Al Gimel Dvarin HaOlam Oymeit. Al Olam, on the Neshama, and on the Mokoyim. There are three elements. The person, the time, and the place. The Kodesh HaKadosh is the holiest place. The Kohen Gadol is the holiest Jew. Yom HaKippurim, the calendar, the date is the holiest man. All three come together. Right? All three come together. So over here we have the same thing. There's the food, it's the chefza, which really will substitute that for the location. It's the chefza, it's the object, the location. And we have the person. You're not allowed to have joy. And there's a zman. There's a zman. So Shabbos. What's the Shabbos? It's Shabbos food. It's the time of Shabbos. And you are on Shabbos. You have a neshama yisera. Who's really eating the food? You're not eating the food. The neshama yisera is eating the food. When Shabbos is over, who says you say, you don't say, you know, it's not the din, it's not the chefsa. Now the truth is, it was very interesting. There's a Mishnah, he showed me a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, which really says exactly this point. What is it in Maaser Sheni? We have a principle, this is an amazing concept, and it really is very relevant to this. A chover is not allowed, or even a regular person, is not allowed to trust an am ha'aretz, that the food that he serves you, how you have separated Maisa. Eating Maisa is a very big crime. It's a chiv misa bidei shamayim. It happened in Daf Yomi only 2-3 days ago. If you have grain, food, bread, so we have full confidence that an Am HaAretz separated truma, because you only have to separate a mashahu. Who's not going to separate a mashahu in order to take away an isur chiv misa bidei shamayim? But Meiser is 10%. Hey, that's a lot of money. That's a lot. So in Am HaAretz, we don't trust. Even though Roiv Ame Horatzim separate Meiser Rishayim, if this person is in the category of an Am HaAretz, we don't trust him. A Chover buys food from Am HaAretz, the Chover has to separate 10% just in case the Am HaAretz not separate 10%. Are you allowed to separate Meiser Rishayim on Shabbos? No. If you forget to separate Ma'aser Rishon and Shabbos, you're stuck. You have nothing to eat. Because you're not allowed to separate Ma'aser on Shabbos, not even to make a whole Tanai. You're not allowed to even a whole Tanai. The Tanai you have to Erev Shabbos, where you don't have Kalim to separate it into. You're not allowed to do it. So you're stuck. So what happens in Shabbos? And you have nothing to eat. All you have in front of you is the food of the Am HaAretz. So it says in the Mishnah, very powerful, it says in the Gemara in the Mishnah, you can go to the Am HaAretz and say, Mr. Am HaAretz. Mr. Am HaAretz, tell me the truth. No one's watching. Did you separate the Ma'aser Rishayim? The Chazal say, Roiv Ame HaRatzim, do separate Ma'aser Rishayim. During the weekday, we're machmir, because who knows? Tell me the truth, I'm starving, this is all that's available. Tell me the truth. The Am HaAretz says, I separated it. I'll tell you the truth. Trust me. I separated Ma'aser Rishon. It's a Mishnah, a Masechta Ma'aser Sheni, towards the beginning. You're allowed, it's mutter. Why? The Mishnah says, the Eima of Shabbos is upon the Am HaAretz. It's a pachat. He tzittis, Shabbos Kodesh. It's Shabbos today. He went to mikvah. The aim of Shabbos upon him, and he's going to tell you the truth. You can believe it. Wow. Now, here's the catch. Unbelievable. So you start eating, and you have leftovers. And now it's Mitzvah Shabbos. Are you allowed on Tuesday to eat the leftovers of what the Am Haaretz told you he separated? The Amos of the Shabbos is upon you. So a shocking thing to know, the Mishnah says no. You go back to your old, to the, what do you mean you go back? It's the
same food.
It's the same food. If I was, and it's the longest is the Amos of the Shabbos. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. How could it possibly be?
Same things in Yom Tov. They say in the time of the Yom Tov, you trust in Hamor. Once it finishes, you
but it's the same food over here.
Right.
It's a shocking. This Mishnah opens up a whole world of everything. This doesn't matter. During the weekday, it is also to rely upon. Shabbos is different. So therefore, here's the Chiddush. Here's the point he made to me, this one. Even if you'll tell me a wilde chiddush, a wild chiddush, which maybe you could bring a riot to such things, is that during the 9 days, the chalois of not eating basar, it's not you, it's the meat. The meat is the problem. Maybe you can find a makar for this. We typically understand the reason why you don't eat meat is because simcha. So the meat doesn't have simcha. I have the simcha. Not so simple. We discussed this. One of the reasons why you don't eat meat is because if Hashem's Mizbeach doesn't get meat, how could I put meat in my... Not simcha. It's Hashem's Mizbeach doesn't get meat. I'm going to get meat. Who says the din is a din in the person? Maybe it's a din in the meat. In Shulchan Aruch, it says something very bizarre. What Mefarshim made in Mefalpo? The Mechaber, the Matznin Es HaSakin. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, don't eat meat. I think it does it also. But it says there, we hide the knife. The Chalak, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Sakin, the Shoichtim, that do the Shechita, that knife is put in Geniza during the 9 days. And this is a very big challenge to all of the Kashrus agencies, who shecht during the 9 days?
They don't.
Nothing?
It's closed.
The beginning.
No, the whole 9 days she was closed.
The whole nine days? It's all leftovers?
Okay, they don't come into work.
They could be.
I
don't know the details, but there's something called, there's an element in the 9 days, or I'm asking
they used to be more lenient, but they stopped being that.
There is a discussion among the Paiskim is, it's not just the prohibition to eat the meat. If it's all there was, it would say in Shulchan Aruch, don't eat meat. It goes further. The knife that the Shoichtim use, they put him away. Why? What does that mean? Just don't eat the meat. Shecht all you want. Make all the preparations. Shecht not for now, you'll shecht for after Tisha B'Av. What's going on over here? The answer is, obviously, it's not just you. The issue of eating meat on during the 9 days, it's not just about your pleasure. There's something about a blanket banning.
Vegetarian.
Banning meat. Meat is off limits. Keep this, stay away from this. The knife that cuts the animal, that does the shit to be matir, the basar, no. All basar is off limits. So if you want to really dig very deep into this and this concept of why exactly do we not eat meat, we're going to discover there are many elements. It's not just about the gavra, about don't have joy. There is also something, don't even create basar. Don't do a maisa shechita that will create meat during this period of time. Because meat is off limits. The Mizbeach doesn't have meat, so this meat doesn't belong to us. We keep it away. If you will find me a proof, an element in Basar, that the prohibition is the Chefza, so then the question becomes a very good question. Shabbos, the Chefza is Mutter. Just like the Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz, tell me the truth. Did you take off Meiser? Yes, I did. Oh! You took off ma'isa. Oh, the chavs is mutter. Chavs is mutter? If the chavs is mutter, it should be grandfathered into Tuesday. Look at the Mishnah. Just because the Am HaAretz told you it's mutter, and you believe him, and you eat a mosa de Shabbos, Chazal came along and said, when it comes to mitzvah Shabbos, we are now putting upon this meat, putting upon this bread, an iser of demai. Too bad for you. We're reimposing demai. Just even if you will prove to me, you will show me that the iser basar is a din in the cheftza, and Shabbos it's hutra. Doesn't matter. It's no different than demai mitzvah Shabbos. It's reinstated. Just like when it comes to demai. So that's not going to be a legal loophole. Poshup shot is like what you're saying. It's a din in the yoyim. It's a din in the person having simcha. It's not a din in the chefza. But even if you'll prove to me that it's a din in the chefza, it's still no different than demai, where mitzvah Shabbos it becomes also once again. I think that was a fascinating chiddush I heard on Shabbos. About Bossa. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Maybe you want to say Kaddish?
Today is the first time we have more people physically present than we have on Zoom.
Baruch Hashem. Chaste Hashem
to the Samar. Amen.